You're evil, you know that? I said. She grinned and shook her head. Chaotic neutral, sugar. I grinned back at her. I'm still going to beat you to the first gate, you know. Probably, she said. But this is just the beginning. You'll still have to clear it. And there are still two more keys to find, and two more gates to clear. Plenty of time for me to catch up with you and then leave you in the dust, Ace. We'll see about that, lady. She motioned to the window displaying the scoreboard. You're famous now, she said. You realize what that means, don't you? I haven't had much time to think about it yet. Well, I have. I've been thinking about it for the past 5 weeks. Your avatar's name on that scoreboard is going to change everything. The public will become obsessed with the contest again, just like when it first began. The media is already going berserk. By tomorrow, Parzival will be a household name. That thought made me a little queasy. You could become famous in the real world, too, she said, if you reveal your true identity to the media. I'm not an idiot. Good, because there are billions of dollars up for grabs, and now everyone is going to assume you know how and where to find the egg. There are a lot of people who would kill for that information. I know that, I said, and I appreciate your concern. But I'll be fine. But I didn't feel fine. I hadn't really considered any of this, maybe because I'd never really believed I would actually be in this position. We stood there in silence, watching the clock and waiting. What would you do if you won? She suddenly asked. How would you spend all that money? I had spent a lot of time thinking about that. I daydreamed about it all the time. H and I had made absurd lists of things we would do and buy if we won the prize. I don't know, I said. The usual, I guess. Move into a mansion, buy a bunch of cool shit. Not be poor. Wow, big dreamer, she said. And after you buy your mansion and your cool shit, what will you do with the $130 billion you'll have left over? Not wanting her to think I was some shallow idiot, I impulsively blurted out what I'd always dreamed of doing if I won. It was something I'd never told anyone. I'd have a nuclear-powered interstellar spacecraft constructed in Earth's orbit, I said. I'd stock it with a lifetime supply of food and water, a self-sustaining biosphere, and a supercomputer loaded with every movie, book, song, video game, and piece of artwork that human civilization has ever created, along with a standalone copy of The Oasis. Then, I'd invite a few of my closest friends to come aboard, along with a team of doctors and scientists, and we'd all get the hell out of Dodge, leave the solar system, and start looking for an extrasolar Earth-like planet. I hadn't thought this plan all the way through yet, of course. I still had a lot of details to work out. She raised an eyebrow. That's pretty ambitious, she said. But you do realize that nearly half the people on this planet are starving, right? I detected no malice in her voice. She sounded like she genuinely believed I might not be aware of this fact. Yes, I know, I said defensively. The reason so many people are starving is because we've wrecked the planet. The Earth is dying, you know. It's time to leave. That's a pretty negative outlook, she said. If I win that dough, I'm going to make sure everyone on this planet has enough to eat. Once we tackle world hunger, then we can figure out how to fix the environment and solve the energy crisis. I rolled my eyes. Right, I said. And after you pull off that miracle, you can genetically engineer a bunch of Smurfs and unicorns to frolic around this new perfect world you've created. I'm being serious, she said. You really think it's that simple? I said. That you can just write a check for $240 billion and fix all the world's problems? I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm going to give it a shot. If you win. Right. If I win. Just then, the Oasis server clock struck midnight. We both knew the second it happened because the throne reappeared atop the dais along with the Sararak. He sat there motionless, looking just like he did when I'd first entered the room. Artemis glanced up at him, then back at me. She smiled and gave me a small wave. I'll see you around, Parzival. Yeah, I replied. See ya. She turned and began to walk toward the dais. I called after her. Hey, Artemis? She turned back. For some reason, I felt compelled to help her, even though I knew I shouldn't. Try playing on the left side, I said. That's how I won. I think he might be easier to beat if he's playing the stork. She stared at me for a second, possibly trying to gauge whether I was messing with her. Then she nodded and ascended the dais. A Sararak came to life as soon as she set foot on the first step.
Greetings, Artemis, his voice boomed. What is it that you seek?
I couldn't hear her reply. But a few seconds later, the throne transformed into the joust game, just as it had earlier. Artemis said something to the lich, and the two of them switched sides so that she was on the left. Then they began to play. I watched them play from a distance until a few minutes later, when her barrier spell dissipated. I cast one last glance up at Artemis, then threw open the door and ran out.